It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The White House announced this week that Malia Obama will attend Harvard after completing a gap year. Her entrance into the Ivy League will continue a family tradition of attending one of America's most prestigious universities. Her parents attended Harvard Law after earning undergraduate degrees at Columbia and Princeton. Coming up on the program, Pittsburgh native Sean Michael Green recounts his years spent at each of the Ivy League schools. Up front, though, May 1st is known as Decision Day for high school seniors. It's the day when many students commit to the college they plan to attend in the fall. It can be exciting for students and nerve-wracking for parents. One of the biggest concerns is the increasing cost of paying for college. Across the U.S., colleges and universities are moving from a flat tuition to a per-credit tuition. Not far away from here, Indiana University of Pennsylvania plans to implement this change. One of the 14 schools in the Commonwealth University system, Millersville is the only one to have already made this change. However, not everyone is in favor of a per-credit tuition as opposed to a flat tuition. But why? We're posing this question to Ken Mash, president of the Association of Pennsylvania State College and University Faculties. Ken Mash, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much. It's great to be on.
And you can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. If you are faced with the decision of whether to attend a college and pay a flat tuition, or if you've made the decision to go with a college that's charging you per credit and want to weigh in on the conversation, 412-246-2002. Email ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. And before we begin this conversation, over the past month, we have reached out to representatives at Indiana University of Pennsylvania, Millersville University, the State University System, and others to discuss the installation of a per-credit tuition. They have declined our invitation to take part in this discussion. So, Ken Mash, we turn to you. In a recent Post-Gazette article, Michael Driscoll, the president of Indiana University of Pennsylvania, said IUP faces a $15 million shortfall next year and that the per-credit pricing pilot program going into effect this fall is part of a three-pronged approach to closing that gap. And he says students will see prices decline. What do you think?
Well, I'm not sure how prices would decline with this per-credit tuition plan. It's clearly a tuition increase for the vast majority of students who attend IUP. So I'm not really clear on how he would be able to make that statement.
Could it be that he's saying that if you take a full credit load, that could possibly result in being, I could see where you would say that for students that aren't taking a full 15 credit semester load, but if they're doing that, is there a way conceivably that they can save money?
Well, you know, you could look at it in terms of, for example, at Shippensburg University, which is also going ahead and doing this, that 60% of the students who are there are going to see an increase. So there's about 40% of the students who attend part-time, and they're the ones who would see a decrease in tuition. However, the program works in such a way that they're getting the decrease because they're going to discount tuition at first. But over the course of a couple of years, those discounts decrease, and eventually their price will be about the same as it would have been at any other university. So there really won't be any decrease over time. Now, for the first students who are in this, they will see if they're going part-time. But for the vast majority of students who are full-time students, it's going to be an increase.
So as president of the Association of Pennsylvania State Colleges and University Faculties, what are the members of the university faculty saying they are in favor of?
Well, you know, for us, you know, it's always good for the universities to get more money. Obviously, we work there. However, you know, we believe very strongly in the mission of our universities. And Act 182, which created the system in the early 80s, you know, said that the system has a duty to provide a quality education at an affordable cost. From our perspective, public higher education has to be about access. It has to be about allowing students, the working-class families of the Commonwealth, a chance for their kids or for them to improve their lives. And, you know, increasingly we're told that in order to be successful, you do need a college degree. So our concern is not about the short term, but it's about the long term of what it means to have a public higher education system in Pennsylvania.
Another thing that IUP would argue and has argued is that a per-credit system can actually reduce the time it takes to earn a degree. Can it?
Well, you know, I've heard this rhetoric before. In fact, in front of the General Assembly at the appropriations hearings, the Chancellor said that this will keep students from, quote, grazing the academic vineyard. And I assume by that he means that, you know, to project that there's dabbling going on, that students are in no rush to finish. But, you know, students who are already graduating with $30,000 in debt, it really is hard to make the argument that they can afford to be dabbling much. In the end, you know, it takes 120 credits to graduate. And one really doesn't have to be a mathematician to see that, you know, if you go for 8 semesters, right, that's 15 credits each semester. But under these plans, you know, anything beyond 12 credits you'd have to pay for. So that's automatically a 25% tuition increase for students. What we're afraid of is this will have big impacts on students. So we're worried that students won't take classes that they may find difficult because they would be afraid that they'd have to, you know, take them again and pay for them. We're afraid that students won't double major, that they won't have minors. We have concerns that they won't go into STEM fields because those STEM courses sometimes are more difficult, and also because sometimes they even require dual majors, which would require them to take more credits. So we're worried about the academic success of our students. We're also worried about, as I said, access. How many students won't go because they can't afford to go now? And how much more are we going to drain our students and their families if they have to, you know, continue to pay more?
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we are talking with Ken Mash, president of the Association of Pennsylvania State College and University Faculties, about the switch that some colleges are making, including among them Indiana University of Pennsylvania, from a flat tuition to a per-credit tuition. You've heard Mr. Mash express his fears about what this transition could bring and will bring in terms of a financial burden to students. What fears do you have if you are a student or the parents of a student about this particular change? Is it limiting your choices? Is it something that could really squeeze your bank account? Are you worried about having an affordable alternative to a more expensive private college if this continues to be a trend in higher education? 412-246-2002, the number to call. Again, 412-246-2002 if you'd like to join the conversation with a comment or a question, as we are talking with someone who can probably answer many of your questions about this. Again, the email address, ESSPGH@WESA.FM, and on Twitter at ESSPGH. Again, the number, 412-246-2002. So one question that comes to mind, Ken Mash, is why do you think many colleges and universities are transitioning from the flat tuition to the per credit model? Is it merely about finances here, or is there something more at play here?
Oh no, I think it's clearly about finances, and I want to make it clear that IUP, even with these per credit tuition plan, will be a very affordable option and probably the most affordable in the area. Our universities continue to do a great job, and as I said, they are affordable. But if we're going to look for the real explanations for why they're moving to these plans, it's simply a matter of a lack of funding from the Commonwealth. When the university system was created in the early 80s, the state was picking up 75% of the cost for a student's education. Now the state's picking up 25% of the cost. In 2011, we saw a major reduction in the allocation for the state system. It went down by 18%. In the years that followed, there was no additional money given to the university system. And it wasn't until this year that there was a 5% increase. So those, you know, the universities have increasing expenses. but the Commonwealth isn't picking up its share at the same rate that it was at one time, and somewhere the difference has to be made up. So, you know, we're not, that is my association, we're not arguing, you know, that there's a lot of money to go around. And frankly, I, you know, part of me understands a lot why the administration is looking at this avenue, because they have to make ends meet. We just believe that the real answer has to be that the General Assembly starts to recognize that they have an obligation to not just the system, but to the students and to future generations in order for Pennsylvania to be as successful as it needs to be.
You mentioned some of the funding decisions, which go back to 2011, but they predate the Wolf administration. And Governor Wolf, though we've certainly seen that he's had his differences with the legislature, he has pledged to address this during the course of his time in office. What do you think about that? Are you optimistic about that? And if that happens, can that help to ameliorate this situation?
Well, clearly, the governor had said at first that he wants to restore the cuts that were made. Then in his initial budget address, he said he wanted to do it over a two-year period of time. He tried to negotiate with the legislature. In the end, they wound up with just a 5% or a $20 million increase for the system. That's a lot of money, but it doesn't go all that way to that 18% that was cut originally. So, you know, if we progress along the lines here where this year we got a 5% increase, and the governor has recommended another 5% for next year, then we're well on our way towards that restoration, and the universities will be in a much better financial position.
412-246-2002 to join the conversation. Let's go to a call from Michael in Pittsburgh. Michael, hi, you're on with Ken Mash.
Hi, Ken. Hi, Paul. Quick question. I teach college in Pittsburgh. I'm a product of the state system as well. I went to Millersville. And recently, it's come to light that there's so much of college, the increase in tuition is coming from administrative costs. What can faculty and what can your organization do to help curtail this?
Interesting question.
I'm sorry, Paul. But we're always in discussions about that aspect of things. And there is a lot of money that is going to administration. We've seen administration grow for a period of time. In fairness to the state system, they have cut back on the number of employees working at the system. But we do see, we think, salaries going up for administrators, and we raise those points with the state system. But I don't want anyone to lose perspective. That is, that even with those administrative costs, even if they were to reduce those administrative costs, the state system would still be facing a financial crisis. And so really the you know, I think it's too easy to distract attention away from the larger question, which is the Commonwealth meeting its obligation to our universities?
And that having been said, to Michael's point, it seems that whenever a college or university is in dire financial straits, the first thing that happens is that costs like tuition get raised, the students get squeezed, and oftentimes, we're not hearing about administrators who are making pretty good salaries, and not to say that they don't deserve it, but why is it that we don't see more of the administration bearing the burden here and saying, you know, we'll have our salaries frozen, or maybe we'll take a decrease in order to benefit the university?
Well, I'd like to answer that question for them, but I'm not sure I can. And since I'm on the other side of the issue, I often ask them those very questions, and I don't think I've gotten adequate responses. I think it's really up to the system spokespeople to answer that.
Another rationale for the universities, they say that that instituting this per-credit system, by doing this, they'll have students on a better track toward graduation. They'll use their time more efficiently, and the universities can then let more students in. Have you heard this, and what do you think of it?
I'm not sure I understand that argument at all, because, you know, letting students in is not the problem. In recent years, the enrollment actually has decreased a bit, mostly because of population fluxes. So there seems to still be room at plenty of room at the universities. So that argument doesn't really make too much sense to me. I do think that the driving factor is, in fact, finances.
Do you think that the per-credit system can keep students on track better to finish their degrees in 4 years?
No, that's an interesting question. I mean, I think that there's always economic pressure to do that. There has been, as I said, you know, our students leave our universities typically $30,000 in debt, and so their financial pressure is already there. Our big concern is what kind of education are students going to get? At other universities, and certainly at the elite universities where students who can afford to go to those schools, they're going to have the opportunities to, you know, look at other classes, enrich their education, learn more about the world, and that's the business that we're in. We're in the business of educating students. And from our perspective, the best prepared student, no matter what the job is a well-rounded student. So to the degree that we're closing things down and making it more difficult for working class students to learn things about history or art or science or chemistry or even business, I think we're doing a disservice.
So here we have Indiana University, which they are the school, although there are others doing this. This is what piqued our interest or caught our attention. They're saying they're going to do this. It's a pilot program. It's going to go into effect this fall, which apparently, on the surface at least, doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to stick with this. So, Ken Mash, I would ask you as we wrap up this conversation, what would you like to see happen? Ideally, what do you want to see as the result of this ongoing conversation about what is the best way for universities to meet their financial obligations while not gouging their students?
Well, we have some objection to the use of the term pilot. This is not being run anything like what a pilot would be run as. If it was a pilot, we would know what questions are they looking at ahead of time as they run this to see if they're going to pull it back. Last year, Millersville University was the first university to do this, and we haven't seen any standardized way of studying the program as it develops. And so we're concerned that, you know, once you start raising these costs, and I think everybody would be concerned that once you start raising these costs, going backwards is not usually the direction that you go in. As far as, you know, what we would like to see is the end result, you know, I think I've been very clear that I think the burden lies with the General Assembly to properly fund our universities. There's a lot of senators and representatives who like to go around and say that, you know, their taxes are not being raised. But obviously, when there's not enough money going into, you know, our public schools or going into our universities, then that burden gets shifted, again, back to taxpayers on the local level for public schools and for the students and when it comes to our universities. And what winds up happening is the people who could afford it the least wind up, in fact, paying more. And so we would like people to, you know, contact their legislators and let them know that, in fact, you know, students deserve a quality education at an affordable cost.
We've been talking with Ken Mash. He is president of the Association of Pennsylvania State College and University Faculties. Ken Mash, thanks so much for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much.
Coming up, we'll talk with a man who spent a year at each of the Ivy League colleges. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.